So 2 John 1, starting at verse 1. The elder to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings. Amen.
Rejoice, the Lord is King. Let us raise our voices in singing that hymn. Rejoice, the Lord is King. What is truth? It's not a new question. Pilate asked that question of Jesus. And it seems to me that the longer I'm on this planet, it becomes a harder question to answer. I remember, I'm of that vintage and age, when black was black and white was white. There was right and there was wrong. And if you got the right thing wrong, then you got a clout round the back of the ear. And if you got the wrong thing wrong, you still got a clout round the back of the ear. We spent a lot of time with clipped ears. Some things were accepted as a given, unquestioned, unchallenged. Not now. We appear to have entered the age of challenge, when everything is up for grabs. Everything seems to have become relative. Even things like gravity. I always thought gravity was a given, but no, far from it. It's only experienced as we know it here. Go anywhere else in the universe and gravity is different. Even Newton's model of gravity has been revised time and time again since it was penned, based in the changes of our knowledge and understanding. And that might be quite a straightforward thing to challenge. It's measurable, it's quantifiable. But now even identity is being challenged. Increasingly, truth is becoming relativized. Your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. But we are also witnessing a rise in what some might class as militant liberalism, where you can hold any view you like as long as you don't disagree with me. sounds rather illiberal in some ways. We come back to that question. What is truth? The starting point is to find out, where do we start from? The relative truth teller starts from themselves. They become the definer of their truth. So if they get up one day and change their minds, then the whole world, their whole truth paradigm, can shift to suit. I get up and decide the earth is flat, then that's fine. Their truth may depend on whether they had too much cheese the night before and had a strange, weird dream. They've become the god of their own existence. Perhaps that's no surprise in this increasingly secular world in which we live. But as we roll that out across different levels of society, we end up with the conditions that allow for the simultaneous justification of helping Ukraine fight off an invader, being equated with giving support to Israel's invasion of Gaza in response to what Hamas did. They cannot be seen as the same thing, surely. That seems to me a case of relative madness. As people of faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of the world, as we considered in the last couple of weeks, Christ's people, our truth doesn't begin with us. It is beyond us. It is not created by us. Even when that is challenging and when that's hard for us, it is still not ours. The relativist has no fixed point other than themselves. We have a fixed point that is beyond us, giving us an anchor, a point of reference for our lives, an insight to what's happening in the world around us. It's important then to keep fueling this truth. We have the Bible, and in that, the express teaching of God to his creation on how to live and how to be. We need to keep fueling ourselves with this in our reading from John today, which can seem just a little note rather than a full-blown letter. He makes it clear in verse 9 that if we wander away from the teaching of Christ, we break fellowship with God. We lose our anchor point, and we are set adrift in a storm of competing voices in the world with no guide as to how to navigate them. The net result is that we don't know how to respond to them. And so we stay silent, and yet in our hearts, we know something just isn't right. We are called to love as Christ loved. And in that, he challenged those in error. He challenged those in power with the truth. He challenged those in sin with the truth of their actions. So if we are to love as Christ loved, that will require us from time to time to speak out. And that may mean challenging a friend's views. It may mean writing to politicians, challenging their words and actions. Jesus' words to love shouldn't be confused with being a doormat. We are not doormats. John's primary concern in his letter was the rise of false teachers speaking their heresy and seeking a truth to suit their own ends. God will deal with them. But John's concern is more about the impact they will have on the lives of others. Indeed, his concern for their eternal life, their eternal well-being. And that's a responsibility that all of those who preach the gospel have. I'm accountable to you for what I preach. I'm accountable for you for how I use and explain and explore God's word to you and with you. And indeed, I sit under the judgment of that word as much as anyone else in this space. And on a personal note, I kind of find it hard to fathom how any church can ordain people who cannot affirm the truth that's contained in the simplified words of the creeds, let alone the teaching of Jesus. The argument about being a broad church is simple relativism. It's across denominations, ministers, bishops that deny the deity of Christ, deny the resurrection. How can they be God's ministers and yet deny the words that we proclaim as being truth? They're basically saying it's a lie. Can't have that confusion and that dissonance within the church. As we encourage one another in our faith, it's important to see that we are being gifted a very precious and yet very fragile thing. Our eternal well-being, our eternal life. It is important that we keep checking our teaching to the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. To be a truth-filled people, we start from the point of God's word. As difficult and as challenging as that can be to bridge the cultural differences and experiences between then and now in our modern world, but that's where we start. We add to this the ongoing teaching of the Spirit as promised by Jesus. To walk alongside us, to direct us, and still remain consistent with the revelation of God's word. We are to let the truth fill us up to overflowing. But that overflow, that outflow, should be exercised in love. If we don't do that, then we're in danger of twisting words, distorting truth, using the word to bludgeon others to becoming as defensive and as defective as the rest of the world. We are to gently temper one another to increasing strength and knowledge and confidence in our God and to build one another up in faith and in truth. Here are two truths to reflect on. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A challenge to those who say, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe in something. Or all religions lead to God. Our truth is clear and simple. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. We are called to remain faithful to Jesus, to allow God's pruning in our lives, to maximize our fruitfulness. There is the great challenge to MOT our thinking, to make sure it is still rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. And to do that, we need to know his word. Across the Gospels, Jesus has recorded this saying, "I tell you the truth," 78 times. Perhaps there is a starting point for our checkup. I'm not going to tell you where they are within the Gospels. Go look for them yourselves. Keep a note, count them out, 78 of them. But that's that part of refining, redefining our understanding of what God's word means. If our understanding of Scripture is the same as it was when we were 10, we haven't grown. We haven't matured. We aren't being fruitful. We need to take that understanding and applying to what it means as to who we are, and I'm not telling you how old I am. 60 plus, we'll just say that. It's still got to be relevant to me, and there's been a lot of life since 10 and 60. And that truth has to be applied to every single part of it and wrestled with to make sense, to be consistent. And through that, this last one, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You want freedom, freedom of heart, spirit, and soul? That's the freedom you want. Know the truth, and that truth will set you free. What is truth? I think we should be saying, who is true? Christ is true. And as we wrestle with that as a church, as individuals, but as a church community, how are we going to take that truth and give it away to others? How do we share that? How do we use that to encourage one another? How do we, in the old-fashioned world, evangelize around us? How do we get that truth beyond us in a way that is gentle and but true and solid, especially in an age where every truth is being challenged? The whole gender identity issue that is so much at the forefront today causes a lot of people a lot of deep consternation. And that is something perhaps that we need to reflect on and to engage with and to wrestle with and to work out what it means. How can we share the truth of the gospel with every single person, irrespective of race, creed, color, or how they see themselves? And perhaps the greatest truth to share in that is simply to point out that they are loved beyond measure by the God who made them. Isn't that a nicer start to a conversation than to judge, to criticize, and condemn? But that's a theme for another day. Can we just pause in a moment's prayer? Let's pray. Loving and eternal God, we can wrestle with how to take the truth we read in your word and overlay it in a world that seems so alien, so different. May your spirit fill us and give us insight. May it grow within us a confidence in what your word teaches and a deep understanding of what it means and how we can share it in your world. So take what is true from what we have thought about this morning and sow it deep within us. May it grow and bear much fruit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing again, if we get back to my order of service. For my sake and the gospel go and tell redemption's story.